Verse number 14 is one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. It is the most concise statement of the incarnation, but yet it is the most full statement of the incarnation as well as the deity of Christ. So let's begin in verse 1 and read all the way down through verse number 14. John 1, verse 1, this is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful to come this morning and to worship and consider that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we worship You this morning in that. Or we have sung Your Word, and we have prayed Your Word, and we have read Your Word, and now we come to preach Your Word, and we ask for Your blessing upon this time. Father, let me decrease that You might increase, and do right now in this time what I cannot. Come, Holy Spirit, help us through the Word to be conformed to the image of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning right there at the beginning of that verse, and the Word was made flesh. God became fully man, yet He remained fully God. You can make that statement, and then you'll receive lots and lots of questions. The theologian J.I. Packer said, "The incarnation is in itself an unfathomable mystery, but it makes sense of everything else that the New Testament contains." Amen? Can you imagine the Bible without the birth of Christ? This wouldn't be the same. What a wonderful thought. But what a mysterious and an unfathomable thought that 100% God and 100% man, yet that is what we have. And the Word was made flesh. Paul, the beloved apostle, confirmed this later in his letter to Timothy. He writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." What a wonderful way to put that. We just sang, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Charles Wesley, later George Whitefield. Charles Wesley wrote it. George Whitefield did what preachers like to do, take somebody else's work and put their own spin on it. But what do we have? The beloved hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And he veiled this about the Word being made flesh. He said, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hell the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." Boy, what a thought. Our Emmanuel. God with us. Our God with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That's just too good to end on, isn't it? "Hark the herald angels sing." My favorite. "Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled." Aren't you thankful for reconciliation? Oh my goodness. "Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord." That's where we began, wasn't it? He's eternal. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hell the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hell the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hell the Son of Righteousness. light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild, he lays his glory by. How can God become a man, yet remain his deity? Mild, he lays his glory by. God's glory are all of the attributes of God wrapped up into one. That is his glory. And to become the baby in the manger, he had to lay his glory aside. Mild, he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. What a thought. Adam sinned. Eve sinned in the garden, and the punishment was death. As by one man, sin entered into the world. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Jesus was born so that man no more may die. There is no sting of death for the Christian. There is no fear that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He was born that man no more may die. The Word was made flesh. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Nicodemus said, What must I do to be saved? Jesus says, you must be born again. How can I be born again? We've been given second birth. In the incarnation, God took on humanity. The infinite became finite. Eternity entered time. The invisible became visible. The Creator entered His own creation. The Word was made flesh. Eternity and time, the divine and the human, salvation and creation are all reconciled. No longer can we divide the sacred and the secular. God has proclaimed His rightful ownership of all that He has created. He doesn't do it with war. He doesn't do it with a triumphal entry that time. He doesn't do it through a trumpet's blast. He doesn't do it through a thunder. He doesn't do it in any boisterous way, one bit whatsoever. A little baby was born in Bethlehem to an unknown girl named Mary and her espoused husband, just a Jewish carpenter named Joseph. But in that moment, as the stars smiled above, as the shepherds watched, as the angels sang, the Creator entered His creation. In 1 John, we are given many proofs of salvation. We are given many evidences of a true believer to the true believers. In chapter 4, he writes in those first three verses what an important doctrine the incarnation is. The Word was made flesh. How important is that to us? Here's what he says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby, he says, you know ye the Spirit of God. That's something to know, isn't it? How do we know the Spirit of God? He says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You see the importance of the incarnation? He continues, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. I love 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, how precise he is with his what is of God, what is not of God. It makes it hard on the Christian, but it ought to be. We should walk a fine line toward holiness. Every spirit, he says that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and everyone that says that he's not is not of God. Right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I hope those are familiar words to you. He dwelt among us. This was his life. Jesus was fully man while remaining fully God. In John chapter 4, verse 6, we are told that he was weary. A man gets weary. In John chapter 4, verse 7, we're told that he was thirsty. John 11, he groaned. In John 11, 35, you know what he did. Who knows John 11, 35? Jesus wept. That's right. On the cross, he bled. 100% man. On the cross, he thirsted. 100% man. On the cross, he died. 100% man. Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory, I'm going to put different my own words to it just for a minute here. The glory of the Father. Now the text says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the idea is the same. God the Son, Jesus, and God the Father manifest the same glory. So does God the Spirit. The three are one. They possess the same nature. In the incarnation, man was first able to behold this. Never before could human eyes lay hold of God's glory. But there, as a baby named Jesus lay in a manger in a place called Bethlehem, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The star over Bethlehem shined his glory. Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The glory of God, it was broadcast through the star. The manger scene was a picture of this glory. We read that in Luke chapter 2. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What did the angels say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The manger scene depicted God's glory. Colossians 2:9, Paul writes, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let that sink in just a minute this morning. For in him, in Christ, the human man, the God-man, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What is all the fullness of the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of the attributes of God. Every one of them. His foreknowledge, his sovereignty. He's all powerful. He's everywhere, all present. He's all knowing, and on and on and on the attributes of God go. In him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of all of those things, but bodily. We were able to behold his glory. We beheld his glory at his birth. We beheld his glory in his life. All of the attributes of God in Christ. Specifically here, John writes of two of those, grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's gift of Jesus to the world is an expression of his grace. All truth necessary to save is in Jesus. All truth necessary to save is available in Jesus. He is the full manifestation of grace and truth. So we sing, he rules the world with truth and grace. Makes the nations prove. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. The Word was made flesh. Jesus was born. But as we celebrate that this morning, don't let your minds leave the purpose of that. Jesus wasn't born to be born. Jesus wasn't born to live. Sadly, Jesus was born to die so that we might be redeemed. As saddening as that is, especially on a Christmas morning, it is a truth that we must come to terms with. All have sinned, and Jesus was born to bring us forgiveness. On the cross, he died. A sinless sacrifice for our sin. He resurrected and he is seated next to the Father now as our eternal atonement. As we consider his birth today, would you consider his cross as well? Isaac Watts penned perfectly the thought that we should have there here this morning in His, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." He said this, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Give Jesus your all today. He gave His all for you. Love so amazing, love so divine, that God the Son lay aside His glory, would take on flesh, would live a life here on earth, would be crucified, resurrected, and ascended, so that you might be saved. Love so amazing, love so divine. That type of love, to receive it, to experience it, to take part in it, to rest assured in it, demands your life. It demands your soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? It demands your all. You can't be halfway saved. There was the church I grew up in Gainesville, Georgia. There was a little boy down the street who would walk to church. His name was Marvin. And he told our pastor one day, our pastor was dealing with Marvin in the prayer time, and he said, "Marvin, do you think you're saved?" And Marvin said, "Well, I'm halfway saved." And our pastor told him, he said, "Marvin, I've met a lot of people I've thought were halfway saved. You're the first person to ever admit it." And he explained the gospel to him. He said, "Marvin, would you like to get all the way saved today?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And Marvin, little Marvin, he was a little fat boy, had red, bulging cheeks. Marvin got all the way saved, his smile glowing off of his face. You can't be halfway saved. Marvin had been baptized as a baby, and he thought because of that he was halfway there, but he knew he needed to do something else. Well, he did. He needed to receive the gift of Christmas. He needed to be saved. The Word was made flesh, it dwelt and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, so that you might be redeemed. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. I want to read you this poem, "Thou Art the Way." I believe this is by James Boyce. I'm not certain. "Thou art the way, to Thee alone. From sin and death we flee. And he who would the Father seek, must seek Him, Lord, by Thee. Thou art the truth. Thy Word alone true wisdom can impart. Thou only canst inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life. The rendering tomb proclaims Thy conquering arm. And those who put their trust in Thee, nor death nor hell shall harm. Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow." Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, or maybe you're like Marvin, maybe you're halfway saved, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. What better day to become a Christian? What better day to enter a relationship with Jesus Christ than Christmas Day? It's a rarity to have a Christmas Sunday morning, only every few years. This is a great day. If you're here today and you're unsaved, I wish you would be saved. We spoke last night of "O Little Town of Bethlehem." The writer of that song put a perfect prayer in there. "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today." What a wonderful prayer. If you're here today and you're unsaved, that is the prayer for salvation. Father, I admit I'm a sinner. I ask You to save me. Take my life. I want to be in a relationship with You. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you're unsaved, there's no reason to leave here unsaved. Many people leave the church unsaved because they're confused. God said, "I am not the author of confusion. He has made the way very simple. It is Jesus. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're in the right way. If you're not, then you're not. You're here today and you've never been saved, be saved today. If you're here today and you are saved, put a smile on your face, put a skip in your step. Leave here today knowing it's Christmas. And you have Jesus. What a wonderful thing. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We behold His glory when we sing Joy to the World. Hark, the herald angels sing. Ring the bells, and on and on and on it goes.